Welcome to the AFD Tech Talk podcast. We are a bunch of friends who meet from time to time to have sizzling conversations about tech and world innovation. If you like what we do, be sure to follow us on Twitter and Instagram at AFD Tech Talk. Subscribe to us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, and Google Podcasts. Catch ya.
All right. So welcome once again to the AFD Tech Talk podcast. We are coming to you from the Queen's Dome Studios. Do you remember the conversation we were having last week about photography? I got together two very special guests, Gok and Enam, and then we did this little thingy where I laid to them my questions and curiosities about photography, and then they educated me as much as possible. So that discourse is not over, but we're continuing today. Welcome once again, Gog. Welcome, Enam.
Thank you.
Great to have you guys back. And last week was just interesting. Well, last week was just eye-opening for me and for a lot of people who tuned in. And we want to continue where we left off. And I have a bunch of questions which I still want you guys to, you know, answer. We can do this, right?
Sure. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. So, all right.
But first, let me take a selfie.
So I remember the last time we ended up on with Gok explaining what single lens reflex cameras and mirrorless cameras were, and I had a little bit of a challenge with regards to SLR cameras because I was like, "Oh, why do you have to have a brain to be thinking about the composition of my subject?" And there again, I'm fiddling with settings, you know, I'm featuring a camera, and it's just too much work. I want to ask you this question. How does photography come across to you? Is it an art or it's a science?
For me, it's both.
For you, it's both.
It's both. Science.
50-50?
Yes. Or, yes, 50-50, because they have to come together.
They have to come together.
Yes. Science begins the process and art is the result. That's how I see it. Or for me, that's how it works.
That's how it works for you.
Yes. And science more in the part of science with a bit of math. I mean, we can add math to science. So, like, physics with. look, with maths, because we are talking about light.
Photography was not rocket science, but you guys are making me doubt that.
No, because we are talking about light. We are talking about temperatures of light.
Okay.
And then we are talking about what math?
Yeah.
Fractions of seconds and decimals.
Decimal
and
points.
Stops and you know. So yes, so that's the science part of it. And then once you have that figured out, then the art part, which I think is individual or is up to each creative, comes out, and then you have your photograph or your creation. Because for the science part of it, everyone is supposed to know. Everyone has to know it to operate the camera. You understand?
I have a tying question to this, but let's see what Enam is just laughing his head off about what you're saying.
So I agree with him 100%.
No, you don't have to agree with him. Sometimes just say Google line.
No, it's just what it is. At the end of the day, that's it. But honestly, I see photography basically as a science. But then, like he said, you can manipulate the science to get art.
To get art.
Yes.
Based on what you are saying, are you trying to tell me if I am not innately what we call a gifted photographer? Because there are some people who don't have any idea of how apertures work, how focal, whatever, blah, 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 exposure, ISO. They don't have any idea of all this. But if you put a camera in their hands, they seem to have an idea of what to do. My question here is, are we saying that someone with basically no innate artistic eye can somehow fight his way up the photography ladder based on just having a technical know-how of things?
Definitely, but it doesn't have to be a fight.
It doesn't have to be a fight.
At all.
Oh no, I think everything
at all.
Okay, fine.
At all, because
I'm not going to argue with that.
It doesn't have to be a fight.
But it's a struggle. It doesn't have to be a struggle.
I wouldn't know if I can relate with or side with you because, okay. First of all, I don't like to agree to the fact that certain things are in it. I like to believe that with dedication you can learn everything. Right?
Look, you are right.
Hold on, let me get there.
I'll let you learn. Look, I also believe.
I think this is a fight now.
I want to believe that there are certain walls you can never get past with just hard work. You need natural talent.
No, but you see, they say, talent fails when talent doesn't work hard.
Yeah. There's that as well.
There's that.
Talent doesn't need to work as hard as
so you see,
non-talent.
But it still works.
AKA Messi doesn't need to work as hard as Ronaldo.
But it still works. He still works, doesn't he? Yeah, he still trains.
Yeah.
You understand? Okay. So, yes, if you have, and also I think it's rather on the flip side. You don't need, nobody's born with the technicalities. That's the thing.
Okay, that I agree
study.
With you.
Exactly. Yeah. You just have to understand how it works and then you use it to create what you want to create. You understand? Which is what I'm saying, it doesn't have to be a fight. So give the person the camera, yes. Once they understand that 1 + 1 = 2 and you arrive at this destination, it's up to them to decide, okay, do I want to do 1 + 1 or do I want to do 2 - 1 or do I want to do 3 - 1? How you want to do, once you understand it, it's up to you to bend it. Because honestly, photography has been here for centuries. There's nothing new. The cameras can come and go, but the principle is the same. So it's all about how you want to present an issue. That's basically it. So that's where maybe your innate artistic argument can win. It's all about the personal decision to present things in a certain way. That's it.
All right.
Yes.
Gob just told me, cameras come and go. My next question is basically just that. What tech innovations have come and gone, or which ones have you experienced, or are you looking forward to, which have personally helped you in your craft or have made you enjoy the whole experience of photography?
I think he should answer that.
Why are you running?
In order
not to turn this into a fight, I'll just...
Okay, so personally, it hasn't been anything major, but I think looking at when I started till now, just the way cameras have improved over time, exponentially, it's just been amazing.
The megapixel count is just increasing.
So, funny enough, technically, megapixel count is not necessarily the be all and end all when it comes to photography.
Yeah,
it gets a bit technical.
You just slap my ignorance head.
No, it doesn't. He's not saying it doesn't matter. It does matter.
It's not what you need to aspire to at the end of the day when you're making a great camera.
Whenever I'm making a great picture. I'm saying this because in the past, a lot of tech companies have advertised their products. So-and-so megapixel. And then when we see that megapixel count in our rooms.
It's all about the marketing.
Exactly. For the general public.
For it doesn't work on you.
Yeah.
For what works on you.
So let me give you a perfect example. A smartphone camera would have like a high megapixel count at the end of the day. You can compare like, let's say, 2 smartphone cameras. They all have, let's say, 20 megapixel.
There's this phone, the Nokia, is it 1020, Lumia 1020?
Yes. Absurdly high megapixel count.
Absurdly high. It was advertised with the tagline, the smartphone that thinks it's a camera.
Yeah.
And then people were just flocking.
And then Google came.
Yeah.
Normal
showed you that, yeah.
And yet their pictures are different.
Yeah. Amazingly different. So that's one major thing. I mean, at the end of the day, there are so many things. ISO range, for example. So ISO is your camera sensitivity, or the sensor in your camera's sensitivity to light. So essentially, that's what helps you shoot, and especially in low light or low lit scenarios. Back in the day, I was using a camera that at ISO 800 was usable. You couldn't go above that. It was a Canon T1i, very old camera. And so it means that if you're in a dark environment, or like let's say you're shooting an event that goes into the night, and you don't have good lighting, you can't shoot, because your images, if you go above ISO 800, your images are going to be trash, and you probably cannot, and even then you couldn't rescue them, because usually we can use our software to try and like take the noise away and have like a good image at the end of the day. But you could, like, it was difficult. But comparing now to then, or now to then back in the day, you have cameras, or currently I use a camera that's at ISO 6400
is good.
6400, perfect. Like, just, and this was what, this is almost a decade. Like, how much things have changed. And this is just one aspect of, like, a small aspect of a camera that I'm talking about. But exponentially, cameras have really, like, they've undergone maturity, if I should say. So that's mainly the thing for me. It's mind blowing when you think about how far cameras have gone, or how far cameras have been developed over the years. For me personally.
For you.
Yeah.
Okay. Are there any innovations you're looking forward to trying out?
Interesting question. So, like I was saying, just based on what I was saying currently, I think just getting, no, I don't have anything specifically in mind, but I'm just looking forward to cameras evolving much more than they have over the past decade, I would say, because I've been working for the past decade. But just that, I just want to see how far they can take the cameras, because now they seem like they're amazing. But I know with technological advancements, it can go like even crazier.
Yeah, there's a lot which can happen in that regard. I'd like to cite, for example, photography companies are beginning to employ the use of AI in picture processing and all that. Like, these are things which these are things or innovations, like perturbative things, which I know are coming up. And I don't know how you guys feel about it. And also, what I've noticed personally as a layperson is, for example, drone photography has fast become a thing nowadays, like both photography and videography, where you have a lot more of it. Have you guys, mess around with drones?
Absolutely.
Well,
more of it goes into the landscaping and architecture. Yes. Or for videos, you can have establishing shots, large scene, wide scenes and all that. Yeah. So for drones, I don't think they are going, I just think they are just going to get as small as possible and more powerful.
More powerful.
Yeah. So powerful that, I mean, they can be spying on you and you don't know. And as silent as possible.
Yeah.
So yeah, they, I can see that. Yeah, I can see that happen. Yeah, very, very tiny.
Anytime there's one close, I can hear it.
Yeah. And I mean, just to add to that, just like the way fans and laptops and stuff like that have gone quieter over time.
Over time,
just by like them designing different
nitrogen cooling and all that.
Yes, and even just as simple things as the flow of the blades in the fan, in the actual fan component. I think just by redesigning the rotors on the drones, they can get quieter over time.
Definitely, But then one innovation, I think quite extreme for me, that I mean, I always joke around with, is to have cameras on the eyes, right? So let's say contact lens,
Yeah.
You fit it on your eye and it's a camera. You probably have to connect it to your phone or something. So probably you have to blink a certain way or something. I don't know how it's going to be done. And then you capture
it.
And then it goes onto your phone.
Mission Impossible. I know.
And then it goes onto your phone.
This is something I see a lot of the augmented reality companies
doing
like Oculus Rift, which was acquired by Facebook. And a couple of other, Microsoft. I don't know how far they went to the HoloLens, and there was Google Cardboard too.
Yeah.
These are products which it's extreme for you. It's extreme for you. The news is extreme for not just you, but for a lot of people too. In that regard, we've seen them fail in a certain regard, because the mass adoption is not really
there. They are currently ahead of their time.
But it's just a matter of time.
It's a matter of time.
It's just a matter of time.
Because development is going on as we speak.
It's just a matter of time.
Okay, so like 10, 15 years, I should...
It could be.
I would say go where no matter what, and then you have a headset.
On taking pictures.
To bring your link where you just...
Yeah. Or at least classes.
Yeah. Yes. You just, you know, think just the settings you want.
And then that's it.
And then that's it.
Like there.
Oh, that would be so cool. Be,
yeah, yeah, so cool. I mean, imagine shooting an event and you're just standing there like everyone and you're taking pictures. And, you don't have to like.
So just to add to this, something small. Canon, a couple of years ago, released a very, like an AI version of a very popular flash that they have. It's called the 430EX. So this one is a 430EX, I think AI or something like that. So, and flash is a mechanical tool. You turn it around and stuff, like depending on where you want your lights your light, to bounce and stuff like that. But this one came with, so essentially the flash things along with you. So once you attach it to your camera, if you turn your camera around, it can turn around based on where it's reading from the camera that you're pointing your camera in. You get, so like if I'm pointing my camera at you now and the flash is on top of the camera, ideally the flash can bounce up and then let's say slightly behind,
yeah,
but it will never face you. And that's just the lens, I mean that's just a flash thinking for itself. That's like a small interesting innovation that they've added to a flash, something as simple as a flash. So I mean the future is very, very bright.
It's bright, but it's sounding like the beginning of a Terminator movie where everyone's camera just turns against them.
I hope we never get there.
Okay, we are talking about the digital side of things, but I want to know your thoughts. I've seen, so this is a little, this is one observation of mine because I am a movie lover. I love movies and some of my favorite movie directors like Steven Spielberg, Christopher Nolan, Robert Rodriguez, they still shoot on film. And I've always asked myself, I don't know Spielberg, I don't know Nolan, but I know you guys now. Why would someone want to shoot on traditional film as opposed to the digital photography? You may not know their reasons, but I would also want to ask you whether you've attempted shooting on traditional film.
Yes, I have. For me, it's stress. I don't have to go to a dark room and do all that things. Mm-hmm. But for some people, so definitely it's not the same, because the effects or the look of the photos are not the same. You even have digital presets that try to make your photos look like they were captured on film, right?
That is the thing. Like you have apps like Instagram, Snapchat, and all that. Exactly. There's like filters, and these are
grainy.
These are traditional filters, look, like exactly. These are actually traditional stuff, which we've had. So I'm wondering, why is the digital trying so hard
it's trying to satisfy people who still hold on to that.
Okay, do you still hold on to that or you don't?
I've never held on to it. But I mean, it's not. I've used that effect in certain scenarios for certain photos. It's part of the communication.
Especially
for black and white photos. Mm-hmm. It makes it timeless. It makes it like it's been there for a long time. So that may be a reason why most people like to shoot film, to have that look and all that. But then at the end of the day, these people you're mentioning, they still get the footage digitized.
Okay.
Do you get it? They still do, because how then do you do watch it?
Definitely.
You understand?
Did you mess around?
I came around a video not so long ago of Michael Jackson's Thriller video,
It was in 4K.
It was mad. Exactly.
This is a video which was shot in the 80s.
Exactly. Yeah. So it has been digitized as well. So that means it was probably shot in the highest quality settings.
Then, yeah.
You understand? So some people can argue film for preservation and stuff. All those things, antique. You know, like it has this whole feeling, it has this whole
feel of it, which community. Do you remember I mentioned Polaroid cameras in the previous podcast?
Why
they were popular. There's this aesthetic which comes with
taking that you can't get anywhere.
Yeah, Polaroid pictures.
Exactly. True. So even now, Polaroid pictures cameras still try to bridge that and new looks. It's it can't just go away because it's very unique. Yeah. That's it. It's very unique. So I think that's why they still hold on to that. Because for digital, each camera company tries to make theirs unique to their own color science and all that. But at the end of the day, when the result comes out, nobody can tell what digital camera you used. But then when it's film, everyone knows, okay, this is film.
This is film.
You understand? And those who probably go deep can tell that, okay, this is a Pentax film or this is a Panasonic film. Mm-hmm. But then once you know this is film, you know it's film. Mm-hmm. You understand? So maybe, I mean, those are some of the reasons why people would want to hold on. But like I said, stress.
And so, I'm also stressed for you.
Personally, I haven't experimented in that field yet. But I feel this is a personal opinion, mm-hmm. that film was from a different era. Generally, most people I know who love film are older
from
folks.
That era, exactly.
So they are from that era, and it's easy to have a nostalgic feel about something that was very innovative in your time, and they tend to hold on to it. And I think it's understandable. I see lovely film images online, and I'm blown away. Mm-hmm. The look. You can't, like, it's just nothing you can even replicate now via like software and stuff like that. It's just very unique. Personally, like you're saying, there's a lot of stress going through all that. I mean, to get your pictures and stuff. And we live in a fast-paced world, mm-hmm. where everything is like very instant.
Fast Wi-Fi.
Know, right? Everything. Fast everything. You take pictures today, the client wants it like the next second, and stuff like that. So,
which is personally a curse which every creative struggles with.
Yes. Mm-hmm. So, unfortunately, film is not something that most people end up with, and especially most working professionals in our industry, because it's too time consuming for someone to adopt. But I feel, and like I was saying, it's an acquired taste of sorts, and especially for people in our era who tend to like film. It's honestly an acquired taste, but people have reaped very good benefits from it. I mean, I know people who shoot only film, and they love it. But usually most people are hobbyists, and they're not actually working professionals like us. So that's my standpoint when it comes to film.
Film.
Yeah. Mm. Okay, I don't think I'll be dabbling in it anytime.
So. You don't think you'll be dabbling in it? No. Anytime. I agree with you on that bit. I remember early this year, I went for an exhibition at Nobuki to have a look at James Barnard's work. I was half expecting one of you to mention, to cite him as...
He's a legend.
Yeah, he's a legend. So and Ghanaian legend. You could find this. There's this kind of like subtle thing going on with the photos, where as an artist you could connect and see what he's trying to say. That it's not just a photo, but it's a story. And then the fact that it was shot on film, there is this nostalgia. Like there's this, you know, this old, that old timey look, which he achieves, makes it look very, how do I say? I don't want to use the word unique because you've used it a bunch of times.
Different.
Okay, maybe. For lack of a better word, I'll settle on that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Huh?
Yo. I love Chris Rich. You're best sorry.
You're best sorry. All right, so the next question has to do with mobile photography and smartphones in general. You knew I had to come to this.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so of late, we've had very, 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 very good and very significant leaps in the smartphone arena, especially regards to smartphone cameras, where you have the Pixel 4s and 5s, you have the iPhone 11s, and I think if I'm not wrong, iPhone 12 is just around the corner, or has been launched by the time this podcast is out. And a lot of companies are also taking advantage of that to sell smartphone lenses, like Moment and all that. And they sell ND filters, they sell this and this and this and all that. Do you think smartphones will ever catch up? No, let me simply put, you are using a Pixel phone, right?
Yes, Pixel 3.
Will this phone ever replace your camera?
This particular phone?
Yes. No. You think, okay, fine. No. I shot myself
into a corner there.
This phone is never going to replace your camera. But mm-hmm. you think they, looking at the progress being made,
yeah,
you think it'll ever catch up?
Okay. Can my camera be made into something as small as this phone? Yes. But a phone goes beyond just a camera, and for that added features and stuff, I don't think it will ever get close to a fully functioning camera. I don't think it will ever. It may get close, but to totally replace it, it will be very, very, very difficult. As much as it will be in my to my advantage actually to have my work and everything in one device. I'll be fine, but I don't see it. It will be very, very, very difficult. Yeah. I don't see it replacing it totally. No, but you see, the whole point of taking a photograph is to document something, right? Mm-hmm. So when it can replace it in certain areas, like personal photographs or hobbyists or basically, but something very professional on a very upscale level, I doubt. Although in the right hands, the loopholes can be explored.
Exploited, yes.
No problem.
I remember during the Pixel 4 reveal, they got Annie Leibovitz to come.
Yeah.
And to come and demo the
this matter. The pictures. This matter.
Please, it was just marketing.
Purely marketing.
No, look.
No. Are you telling me she still uses that camera for her professional work today? Yeah. No. I'm not sure she even used it. No, definitely, she came to talk about.
I feel she made a smartphone camera look.
Yeah, like I said, marketing.
Yeah.
Look professional.
Marketing.
Yeah. So it's not like it's not going to happen like what they promised us, that this is going to become your camera, blah blah blah.
That's what I said. For on a personal level, yes, it can. Mm-hmm. On a very personal level, it can. I mean, you can take a photo, connect it to your Bluetooth, Wi-Fi to your printer, local printer, and print it out. Yeah. Stick it in the frame. That's mm-hmm. it. Problem solved. You understand?
Problem solved.
Yeah. But then if you want to shoot a wedding.
Yeah.
Wow.
A whole wedding. I can't go with my Pixel 5.
Pixel 5?
Mm.
You can try.
you can try.
I can't go with my iPhone 11.
You can try.
Yeah.
The possibilities are endless.
And
you can try. Yeah,
it's been
you can
done,
try. But at the end of the day, will you be happy with the results? Or when a situation presents itself, will the camera adapt? Mm-hmm. Will the camera be able to switch easily? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
You see, usually in a controlled setting, you can use the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Pixel, I think the latest Pixel 5 announcement was shot on a Pixel 5.
Yeah.
Yes. Controlled setting. They are controlling the light, everything. Yeah. Pixel 4 was shot. I think John Legend has a video that was shot with a light, everything controlled. Yeah. But you're shooting a wedding. You move out, in, out, left, right, front. And
Google says they have AI.
And I use a Google phone, so I'm saying that.
To be honest, even your battery life can't stand up to a whole wedding.
You understand? Nope. Even that, you are replacing batteries as you go.
Yeah.
So there are so many things involved than just the output of the photo.
Mm.
You get it, or the megapixel, or the AI.
So the same wedding shot on a let's say a Canon, the same wedding shot on a Pixel 4, the results are going to be different.
Absolutely. Totally different.
Yeah, okay, so this means that
if the fundamentals are weak,
the statistics will be exposed.
And to be honest, this is actually an age-old question, mm-hmm. that would smartphone cameras ever replace professional cameras. Mm-hmm. And like he said, I honestly don't think they would. Because at the end of the day, currently, if you are going to get married and you want somebody to shoot your wedding, you're not going to get some family member who you know has a Pixel 4 who can take really great pictures. You'd look for a professional who has a professional camera. And I don't think that fact is going to change anytime soon. Like I said, technology has really moved in leaps and bounds over the years, over a couple of decades now. But to get to a point, I mean, these professional cameras are designed to do the work they do.
For specific purposes, exactly.
Do you get me? And like you're saying, they are very versatile. You can, like, in any situation, they would perform. But a smartphone camera.
You see, and also we have to.
What smartphone?
This is a Note 9.
This is what?
A Note 9.
A Note 9.
Yeah.
And you are on a Pixel 3 XL or 4?
Just 3.
Just a 3. Okay, I didn't. Because of the case, it looks bigger than mine, but I just realized it's the same thing.
I'm actually looking forward to the 5. Like,
yeah. Looking forward to the 5.
Yeah.
Okay, if you are looking forward to the 5 and you are using a Note 9,
yeah.
What choice of smartphone camera do you love? Personally, this is not, take your work out of this.
Well, I mean, the camera is one of the reasons why I got the Pixel 3. Yes, I started with the Pixel 2.
Okay.
Yes, and it's Android. Well, cameras have been good.
Yeah.
Android cameras have been good, but then the only issue was across certain apps, and Google started to solve that problem, which is why I went to the Pixel 2.
Absolutely.
And most people are actually surprised when they find out I don't use an iPhone. Mm-hmm. Like, so the pictures you post on your Instagram, snaps, like all those kind of things, like you shoot with this and like, yeah, you shoot with this. And I've actually shot wallpapers. There was a period where I was doing wallpapers on my phone, mm-hmm. where I'll go out, any texture, anything I see, I try to create a wallpaper out of it. And I've done that. I've been doing that with my phone. I've had a couple framed A3 size printed. Came out really well. It was good, right? Okay. It was okay. It was fine with my phone. So for me, my answer is going to be photography bias, not video.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. Because when it comes to video, for photography, I'll choose a Pixel phone.
Right. Okay, so the Pixel 5 is probably your next.
Yes.
The next expense.
Yes, that's fine for me. But for video, the iPhone wins.
Yeah, hands down.
There's no argument there. There's no argument there. But for me, so again, like I said, it's a phone. It's not a camera, right? So there's more to it. There's more to my decision to purchase a phone than just the camera. If I want a camera, I'll go and buy a camera.
Yeah. Okay. Right?
Yes. So the Google experience also is why I would go for exactly. Okay.
All right. And now my focus or our focus is on you now.
So same question?
Of course. Right. You want me to ask you something else?
Okay. So if money wasn't an object, I'll definitely go for the Note 20 Ultra now. Mm-hmm. If money wasn't an object. But currently, I've been using this phone for just over a year or so now. And I really love the camera. It works for me.
Yeah.
It works perfectly. Yeah. Most situations, it's fine. And because obviously I also have the knowledge and skill, if I should say, behind
exactly.
my work.
Exactly.
Like I know how to utilize exactly. a phone's camera.
So the knowledge is very, very paramount.
Yeah.
Forget who has the camera. Yeah.
Because you go to weddings.
Forget what camera it is, yes.
Yeah. You go to weddings and a guest will be like, oh, I took this picture, it's not nice. Can you take one? And I'll take the same picture practically.
Like, wow,
because you just took it from a different angle, changed like let's say your settings slightly, or just positioned yourself in a way that the lights would make the subject really nice.
Exactly.
And that's it.
Yep.
Oh, right.
At the end of the day, these are all tools. Everything else
is the mind. All right. So the mind is the best and the most practical asset that you can have as a photographer. This is what Enam is telling me right now. All right. What is on my mind right now? We have to wrap up. We've come to the end of this show. And man, I really have to thank you guys for making enough time to come through and come and, you know, educate me, and not just me,
pleasure.
But everyone else is going to be listening to this.
Mm-hmm.
this conversation can still be continued, but on the timeline, on social media. I think I'll want your social media handles at this point.
Okay. For
Instagram. Any of them, which one do you want to give off? Probably.
Well, they're practically the same, actually. My Instagram is _GHOG.
Okay.
And my Twitter is GHOG_. So so just the placements of underscore changes.
Underscore changes. Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
So mine is The Grey Shatter.
The Grey Shatter.
THEGREYSHUTTER.
Okay.
On Instagram and then Twitter as well. And my, I just have a small automotive photography page which I just started recently.
Yeah.
That's _ Agent Blue. So
AEGENBLUE. I've come across it on Twitter.
On Twitter,
yes, yes, because I'm a little bit into the whole cars. Yeah. Not too much, but just a little bit. It's just fascinating.
Yeah.
A little bit. So thank you guys. Thank you everyone for tuning in. It's been a pleasure having you with us. Until the next episode, peace out.